Welcome to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
We invite you to join us for the next half hour for the Lighthouse, the radio teaching ministry of F. Arthur Devane, and for today's message of vital importance from God's Word.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
I am Elder Pat McCoy welcoming you to this broadcast of The Lighthouse. During the month of January, Brother Arthur has focused our attention on the subject, Shepherding the Flock of God. Let me bring us up to date on these studies which lead to this final study today. Brother Arthur established, first of all, the biblical principles of shepherding. And then secondly, shepherding in the church, in which he presented the authority structure of the flock. And then thirdly, shepherding means equipping others, the church's ministry of evangelism through the congregation. This brings us now to the final lesson, shepherding means delegating and sharing. These are two important guiding principles of shepherding leadership and oversight. Delegating work to others to do, and also oversight of the shared common ministry of the church. Brother Arthur and I will be conducting the second annual Pastoral Growth Seminar on March 19th through the 21st, and it will be developed on this theme, Shepherding the Flock of God. Now, if you have your Bible, open it to Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 through 23, for today's study with Elder F. Arthur Devane.
Thank you, Pat. It's a joy and a pleasure to greet our listeners today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as you join us for this study on the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. Just this brief word in the beginning, we have designated January as our anniversary month, and this is the last broadcast in this month. We have so designated it because it was 8 years ago this month that the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study began broadcasting. For 7 years, I have been the speaker and the producer on the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, and we're delighted and thankful to the Lord for the blessings that He has granted to us in this broadcast ministry, in the expansions that we were able to make into Florida and overseas with our broadcasting last year, and other expansions that we're expecting to take place in the next few months. We ask you to continue to pray for this ministry and support us with your listening, and let us hear from you. Now we conclude today our series on shepherding the flock of God, and we come to the last item in that study, which is shepherding means delegation and sharing. You will recall that in our study last week on shepherding means equipping others, that we pointed out that it's impossible for the shepherd, the pastor, to be able to do all that is to be done within the flock of God. Therefore, he must equip and train others to do so much of the ministry of the church, and we particularly illustrated that with the area of evangelism. Now, in this study today, if the pastor, the shepherd, is going to equip others for service, then he must delegate or share with them the ministry of the church. And we're going to be dealing with those two particular areas, delegation and sharing. By these two items, we mean that delegation carries with it the idea of the assignment of complete responsibility for a job or a task to someone else. Sharing means that there is a joint responsibility. We make that distinction in these two items, delegation, and sharing. Now let's look first at delegation, the assignment of complete responsibility to someone else. In Scripture, delegation is inherent in the concepts of leadership and management, that if one is going to be a leader and one is going to be a manager, then one must not and one cannot physically do it all. There must be others to whom jobs and responsibilities and tasks are delegated. It is put into their hands and they're to carry it out. This is illustrated in the home, and then it is applied in the church, and we will look at those two items. First of all, delegation, as it is illustrated for us in the home, illustrated in the Bible, in the home. One who manages his own household well, and by the way, that's one of the qualifications of the pastor, the elder, the bishop, that if he is going to be a manager or a leader among the flock of God, then he must be one who manages his own household well. We're taught that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. And if he does manage his own household well, he may encourage a resourceful Christian wife to carry on certain responsibilities that are delegated to her. We read in the book of Proverbs in the 31st chapter some tremendous virtues that are indicated for the virtuous woman, and among those is the fact that she looks well to the ways of her household. That is, she has the capacity and the ability and the responsibility to carry on some of the delegated responsibilities of the household. In that same 31st chapter of Proverbs, we're told in verse 12 that she will do him, her husband, good and not harm all the days of her life, and also that the heart of her husband doth trust in her. Now, all of this evolves to the point that here is a woman who has the capability of having responsibility in the home delegated to her. While the husband is the head of the wife, and while he is the head of the household, this does not mean that he does everything. Responsibility is delegated, just as jobs are given to the children in the household, and they're expected to carry out those tasks or those jobs that are given to them to do, their responsibilities. Now, with the delegation of duties, there is, however, the retaining of responsibility and accountability. What the husband delegates to the wife, God still holds him responsible to do. What the parents delegate to the children, God still holds them responsible and accountable for that. And therefore, as in the illustration in the home, as the husband delegates responsibility, he is to be sure that those to whom he delegates that responsibility are capable of carrying out that responsibility. He has to be sure that they are willing to carry out that responsibility. He has to keep in touch with the work to see that it is being carried out, and then he has to be ready to step in when help is needed or when help is requested. Now, as we look at this illustration of the delegation of responsibility in the home, let's apply that illustration in the church. And again, I refer to the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, that says that the elder or bishop is to be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And here is the reason that that requirement and qualification is given for a pastor. For if a man know not how to rule his own house or manage his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God or of the flock of God? So as we apply this principle to the church, we again recognize the fact that if the man who is the shepherd of the flock is equipping others to the work of ministry or to the work of carrying on their ministry, then he must at the same time delegate to them some responsibility for the work that they are to do. I will admit and I confess that this is a difficult thing for many pastors to do. It is a difficult thing for me to learn how to effectively delegate the responsibility of work and ministry to others who are equipped and trained to do it, to turn it over to them and let them carry on the work. Too often, we want to keep our hands on so that we can control and manipulate things. But there is the art of learning how to delegate responsibility to people. When you have given them that responsibility, then back off and let them carry that responsibility. This is why it is so important that you, as one who is a part of the flock of God, that you understand that when you are called upon in the church to carry out a responsibility, to do a job, to perform a task, no matter how large or how small it is, that when that is turned over to you, then you are to carry that out and you are to carry that on. A pastor, of course, must be sure that those to whom he gives that responsibility are capable of carrying out that responsibility. That's why he must equip and train. That's why he must guide and instruct. That's why he must be sure that those to whom he gives a job are responsible and capable in doing that job, and to be sure that they are willing to do that job. You see, there's nothing that hinders a work or a task more than a person whose heart is not in it. So people must be capable or qualified or trained to do a job. They must be willing and committed to the doing of that job. And then the pastor must keep in touch with the work, not control it, not run it, not manipulate the people to whom he has delegated work, but keep in touch with the progress of it and see how it's going along. And then he must be ready to step in when help is needed, when help is requested, and when there is a great need for that help. So there is much work to be done, and much of it can be delegated. That is, it can be turned over to others who then are to carry out the work, with the pastor still being responsible and accountable for that work to see that it is done and that it is carried out. Now let me give you a second item in this matter of delegating and sharing, and that's the concept of sharing, that there is some work that is to be done on a shared basis. That is, it is not just to be the work that is delegated to one person, but that it is a work that is a joint responsibility, perhaps of all people within the church body, of all of the flock of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul distinguishes between elders who only preside or manage, that is, ruling elders, and elders who also labor at preaching and teaching. It seems to me that God has provided for a plurality of church governors or pastors in the local congregation to carry the burden of responsibility and of effort along with the pastor teacher, whether they be pastors, elders, and deacons, or whether they be pastors and deacons, or whatever. There is this need for other people to share in the work and the responsibility in the church, in the flock of God. The failure to share this administrative load with all of those who preside over a congregation amounts to robbing them of the blessings of their gift and turns their work into a purely academic task. I think we as pastors, and I make this confession not only in a personal way, but in a generic way for all of us, that we as pastors have robbed people of the work that can be shared in the kingdom of God, in the church, in the flock of God. We need to learn the concept of delegation and the concept of sharing. You need to learn that when you are called upon to do something, to serve the Lord in a particular area, in a particular position, in a particular job, or on a particular committee, that it is with purpose and intent that this has been shared with you. And you need to respond in a very positive and in a very willing way in the service of the Lord. Notice the Old Testament order. At the beginning of the broadcast, Brother Pat asked you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 18, and I trust you have your Bibles with you and that you have turned to that passage, Exodus chapter 18, because we're now getting to that passage. This is in the interval of time when the Israelites under the leadership of Moses are in transit from Exodus to the land of Canaan. And this particular passage, Exodus 18, beginning in verse 17, is the advice that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, gave to Moses. Jethro had observed that Moses was trying to do everything. He was carrying too much of a load. He was trying to do too much of the work. Now, how often is that criticism, that constructive criticism, leveled against pastors who try to do too much and how to try to carry the load by themselves? And Jethro made the very valuable point to Moses that you're going to weary yourself and you're going to weary the people. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. They shall bear the burden with thee, he tells them. And the verses read like this. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. That's the plain and simple bottom line. That Moses, what you're doing is not good. He also tells him that it's not good because in verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for the thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Pastors, listen to that. Church members, listen to that. The pastor is not able to bear the thing alone. And so Jethro suggests an alternative plan. In verse 20, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people men, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And he goes on to say that you shall appoint them as in charge of or as rulers over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Set up some kind of structure so that there is responsibility that is delegated and there is responsibility that is shared. And he says, they shall bear the burden with thee, not separate from and not alone, but they shall bear the burden with thee. Together they were to share the work. And of course, Moses saw the wisdom of this and therefore followed that suggestion of Jethro, thus sharing the responsibility with others that he had selected. We find a similar incident recorded in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 17, in which God appoints 70 to assist Moses. And here, this is God who makes this point that you shall not bear it alone. So that in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 17, we read that God says, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So here again is the advice given to Moses by God himself, that you shall not bear it alone. Together they shared the work. Now this principle of the eldership runs right into the book of Acts without so much as a word of explanation. We are not told in the New Testament that this is a principle of shared responsibility that is carried over from the Old Testament. And so we look into the New Testament and we look at the office of deacon that is established in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it describes the origin of the same principle of shared responsibility here in the New Testament as a body of men whose specific calling is to help the pastor teachers by relieving them of numerous administrative details that otherwise would pull them away from the work to which they have been set aside. In Acts chapter 6, the deacons were necessary because the apostles recognized they could not do everything. There was work that had to be shared. And in Acts chapter 6, that creation of the office that we consider generally to be the office of deacon, meaning one who waits upon tables, we find that the apostles were confronted with the fact that they were spreading themselves too thin. There were things that were being neglected, particularly the daily ministration to the widows. Some of the widows were being neglected in the daily care, and therefore it became necessary for the body of believers to seek them out, men whose qualifications were given in Acts 6 and again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, that they should select these men to whom should be given shared responsibility with the apostles and therefore with the pastor in the contemporary church. The ministry of deacons is necessary. It is important, and it is a spiritual ministry. They're not simply men who are to take care of responsibilities of a purely financial or material nature. Theirs is a position of spiritual shared ministry with the pastor teacher. When a congregation has a vital board of deacons or a group of deacons selected according to the biblical criteria found in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, help of the right sort is always available. But then there are other officers, there are other responsibilities, there are other people to whom their share should be given this shared responsibility in the ministry of the church. Every office or position in the church is a delegation of responsibility by the church, and therefore those persons are responsible to the church. Whether it is an official office or whether it is simply the general work of evangelism and the general work of ministry that is carried out by the body, by the flock of God, by the church, it is a very important function. It is a very important work. So great is the ministry of the body. So great is the ministry of the church that it is foolish to think that one man is capable of carrying on that great work and that great ministry. He himself must consider that the greatness of the task is beyond his total ability as one individual. Therefore, he equips and he trains others to carry on their work of ministry, but then he must be one who will delegate responsibility and who will share responsibility. So you, my dear people, must be willing to serve the Lord as responsibility is delegated to you, as it is shared with you. Do not hold back. Do not be one who gives some kind of stumbling block to the ongoing ministry and work of the flock of God. We have dedicated this series in this month to the consideration of the shepherding of the flock of God, that you might know that whether you are a shepherd or whether you are part of the flock, that shepherding is indeed a biblical principle. And that when God, through Jesus Christ, established the New Testament church, he did so carrying over into it those biblical principles of shepherding, that there needs to be the man who is the pastor teacher, who has the shepherd's heart and care and concern for the sheep, for the flock of God. but also there is a relationship that is to be exist between shepherd and sheep, so that they feel the strength and the power of their mission and their ministry upon this earth to carry on that very vital ministry. Be a good sheep as you carry on that work, your work of ministry, for which the Spirit of God has given you a gift, and by which the Spirit of God in part trains you and teaches you. That's all of our time for today. Will you be with me next week? Until then, go often to the Word of God.
Thank you, Brother Arthur. As a pastor, I can say that one of the hardest things to do oftentimes is to delegate responsibility to others. Pastors, let's not rob others of their blessings in serving in the flock by doing what they can and ought to do. Next week, Brother Arthur will begin a new study entitled Love, the Greatest Thing in the World, and we hope you'll join us then. The Lighthouse is an outreach ministry of the Primitive Baptist, and the music you have heard is from our churches and the Lighthouse Quartet. This is Pat McCoy speaking for our staff and directors. Until next week, we pray God's richest blessings for your life and to His glory.
Our foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith, His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?